to stay behind for this last presentation. Like they say, you always save the best for the last. This is not a technical presentation, so I guess it's going to be fun. I'm going to make it as informal as possible. I've been asked to talk about how to strengthen cooperative linkages and research and training in developing countries. As you know, many of you may be aware that one of the missions of a black entomologist is to advance entomology and related sciences in the developing countries, in particular in developing black countries. And so some of the things that I'm going to be talking about today, I'm going to be using examples that relate to African countries and based on my experience, and of course for obvious reasons. I also want to mention that whatever I'm going to be talking about today, I'm not going to be giving you an exhaustive list, a complete list of the issues and opportunities. I'm just going to be giving you a few based on my experience. Most of you are already aware, you may be aware of things that I'm not going to be talking about today. So in terms of the challenges and opportunities as they relate to strengthening linkages with Africa, I'm going to be looking at it from four major categories. The first category is recruiting researchers from developing countries, faculty to faculty research collaboration, and I'm going to talk a little bit about institutional cooperation, and then finally talk about outreach and technology transfer. In terms of the challenges and opportunities with recruiting students from developing African countries, as you know, most of the graduate students in the United States are recruited through grant-funded GRAs or GTAs. But there are also other opportunities that you can use to recruit students from other parts of the world, in particular developing countries. There are some foundation fellowships that are available there. One example is the Fulbright Pre-Doctoral Fellowship. So many of you may be aware, but if you are not aware, that's an opportunity. But in terms of the challenges are coded in red there. There are two main challenges that I have experienced and other colleagues of mine have experienced regarding recruiting students from Africa. The first challenge is the required test. You know, many of the land-grant institutions require the GRE and TOEFL test, which are very good. In terms of the ability of the students from Africa, they are able to pass those tests, but there are some issues that put them at a disadvantage, and those issues are first the cost of those tests, the very exorbitant to most of the students from the developing countries when you consider the exchange rate. Even now that the dollar is still very weak, it's still a lot of money for many of these students. They are not able to pay for this test. A lot of them have contacted me, another of our colleagues. Another problem is the preparation for those tests. Many of the students from other countries, in particular Asia countries, it's like there's an industry that specifically designed to help students to pass those tests. But in many parts of Africa, those opportunities are not available. And so in essence, if you're going to rely only on those tests, you might be missing out on very good students who are unable to take those tests. Another issue that I've observed or that we've experienced is the grading system in many parts of Africa, especially those old British colonies, where they are very conservative. Many places you have 70% being an A, and the best student in the class will earn 70. In our class in the US, when you get 70, that's a weak student. And so when you're comparing students from Africa that earn 70, you think they are very weak students in essence, but they are very good students. So those are some of the things that I want to bring to light. And the point is that if you're trying to recruit students from Africa, you might want to factor some of this into your decision. So in terms of recruiting scholars from developing countries, like African countries, As you know, many of us, when we're trying to recruit postdoctoral scholars, we're recruiting them through grant, support, and we want students that or scholars that actually have those skills, those technical skills. Recently, I advertised in my program for a chemical ecologist. I'm looking for somebody that knows how to use those technology. I mean, GCMS, GCAD. Many of the African students don't have that facility. I mean, all of them. So those are some of the challenges, really, that we face. But there are other good news. There are other ways that you can use to recruit students or postdoctoral scholars from Africa without putting your money on the line. The USAID fellowships are available, and there are other foundation grants like the Norman Borlaug Fellows. I've been involved in this one. There's an opportunity to recruit students from developing countries without necessarily using your funds. The Rockefeller Foundation is another opportunity, the Fulbright Physics Scholars Program. These are very good opportunities. One area that I've been asked by some of my colleagues is, how can I collaborate with a faculty in developing African country? There's this faculty-to-faculty collaboration that I have actually explored in my program. And the main challenge is to identify the appropriate faculty collaborator. And one of the ways you can do that is maybe through their publication, or through personal contact. This is where BEE, Black Entomologists, can actually help to act as a liaison. If you have a project that you think you might want to identify a collaborator in Africa, and you don't know anybody, I would encourage you to contact BEE. Many of us have the knowledge of the system and the people who are likely going to be able to collaborate with you. Also, you might want to collaborate or contact the various international research institutes in Africa. One of such is the IITA, International Institute of Tropical Agriculture. I actually worked in that institute. There is ECP. We have the ECP director. ECP is an international center for insect physiology and ecology. Christian Burgmeister is the director. He's at this meeting. And then there's ICRISAT. These are agencies that we have very good, they are very equipped, and they have potential collaborators that might be able to collaborate with you. One other thing that I want to mention to you is I want to encourage you to join entomological associations in Africa. There are a few of those. This is one of the ways in which we can interact. I've used that opportunity too. There is the Entomological Society of South Africa, and there's the Entomological Society of Nigeria, and there are other ones that I've not listed here. But there are opportunities. These ones provide opportunities to collaborate. The big one, really, is institutional cooperation. That is, how can an institution here in the United States cooperate formally with another institution in Africa? So there's the academic agreement program that allows that. And that under that program, it allows for exchange of faculty members between the two institutions, exchange of technical staff, students, and opportunity to conduct joint research activities and participate in international training. I've been able to utilize this opportunity. I want just to mention one experience. One of the ones that I've been able to develop between Auburn and a university in Africa recently. And this is really, it's tasking, but it's not as tasking as you might think. It provides opportunities for two institutions to cooperate. It's like a memorandum of understanding. There are a lot of things that, that are involved there. Many of it I've already mentioned. This involves liaison. Each institution will have its own liaison. And then it involves an approver by the various administrators in both institutions. And finally, the presidents of both institutions have to approve this and realize that, okay, we are partners. And then we can send our faculty and staff and students that can be exchanged of a mutual, it's a mutual agreement. So if you are interested in doing something like this, I would encourage you to contact the Office of International Agriculture or International Education in your institution, and then the process is not as bad as you might think. Again, that cooperation, institutional cooperation, is an unfunded agreement. But once you have that in place, the two institutions now can now go out and look for funding opportunities from USDA, IIC, for example, International Science and Education. There's money, there's some funds there for infrastructure development, establishment of research center. For example, if you are very interested in establishing a research center or a program in your area, in some parts of the developing countries, there's an opportunity there. The USAID, NSF even is funding programs like this. And there are other organizations like the Rockefeller Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that are helpful in doing this. Finally, I'm going to talk about outreach. One of the things that we would like to encourage to see more is outreach, from the United States to maybe the developing parts of Africa, And this doesn't necessarily have to be maybe 2 months in a row. There are opportunities to go out for 2-3 weeks. I mean, as a consultant, help the farmers. I mean, there's the USAID Farmer to Farmer program that pays for that kind of activity. And I think that's one of the things that we would like to encourage. In terms of technology transfer, one of our colleagues, Fikru, has mentioned the issue as relates to transgenic crop. One of the things that we need to understand when we are developing our research, if our research were to be accepted or adopted outside the country, we need to make sure that our research is not developed in isolation. We must consider the infrastructure for transfer and the politics. Politics is also very important. That's one of the problems facing the adoption of transgenic crops in Africa, in some African countries. I mean, you have to also consider the politics. There's opportunity, there's the African Agricultural Technology Foundation that helps facilitate technology transfer. So if you have a product that you might want, you're thinking about transferring to Africa, you might want to consider working with that organization. There are other ways to contribute to research and training in Africa. You can serve on editorial board or as a reviewer. There are a lot of journals from Africa, like the International Journal of Tropical Insect Science, Journal of Entomological Society of Nigeria. There's a lot of those that always looking for people from the United States to help. So these are some of the things that, you can contribute to strengthen that linkage and partnership with African countries. And finally, when we talk about Africa and African countries, what most of us see is the challenges. And I must be real with you, yes, those challenges are real, okay? But most people always talk about the challenges, the roadblocks. Those are real. But behind those challenges are opportunities, okay? Behind, on the background of those challenges are opportunities. And only the few of you, or the few of us that can see beyond those challenges, to see those opportunities, will be rewarded. And it's not only true for research, but also true for investment, true for technology. I mean, I went by, with just a short story. The mobile telephone industry, for example, they've long known that Africa is a potential good market, but many of the companies were not ready to take the risk to enter into Africa. There were just a few companies, the MTN and Econet, that was able to take the risk, and now they are making billions, okay? So what does that mean? There are challenges, but those that can look beyond that challenges, see the opportunities, will be rewarded. And that's all I have for today. Thank you very much. I have time for questions, okay? Any questions? You have any question?
With some of the opportunity that you mentioned for Africa be also for other developing countries?
Yes, I think I must have said it. If I didn't say it, yes, some of the opportunities that I've mentioned for Africa also may operate in most other parts of the world. Again, I've used Africa as you know as example based on my experience, and based on you know the fact that that's where you know I've worked in the past. So yes, they will, you know, they will work in. I mean, they also affect or they operate in other parts of the developing world. As a matter of fact, I want to recognize, acknowledge my co-author, Dr. Joseph Muyanesa, who has also contributed to this talk. Any other questions? All right. The question is, for many of us that have come to this country for training, how many of us do actually go back? That's a very good question, and in the past, it's been the very small percentage, but more and more people are going back right now. As a matter of fact, somebody like me, I'm here because my children are established here. Other than that, I go back every at least once or twice every year. I have opportunities to actually do, you know, as well over there. And a lot of the younger ones are going back because they are beginning to see that opportunities. And they are beginning things, the old barriers are, you know, they are beginning to fall a little bit, okay? And so, that is an issue, but more and more people are taking advantage of that and are going back. But also more important is the fact that some of the programs that I've listed here actually require you to go back, okay? Some of them actually don't require you to get your PhD here. You can come here for 6 months for part of your PhD program, go back and do your research. So there are some programs actually that will facilitate people going back and like I told you, many of us are still here because of our children. I mean, once my children graduate from school, I mean, I think I can actually do a good job going back. Okay. Any other questions? All right. All right. You have a question. What is the visa situation? Okay, so you're talking about students that are coming from Africa into the US or vice versa, or what, you know, which?
Ones coming from Africa, ones get visa.
Okay, that's a very good question. Yes, the question is how easy is it for students to get visa? Yeah, if most of the time, if the student is funded, okay, and there is the documentation that the student is funded, majority of the time the student is, you know, will be successful or getting visa. I mean, there's a few areas, there's a few situations where it's a little difficult, but most of the time, the student will be able to get their visa, okay? In terms of getting visa, like if you wanna work, if you're in the US and you wanna go back to Africa, maybe to do research, it's not that difficult. I mean, you know, moving back there is, you know, is not as difficult as coming here, okay? So you're welcome to take that advantage. I'm just curious again, in this audience, how many of you are aware of some of these programs, and how many of you have actually taken advantage of that? All right, and what's your experience or opinion with that?
I benefited from a pre-doctoral position at ICP.
Okay.
Mombasa, Kenya.
All right, that's great. Thank you very much.